How does HB 1085 affect the well-being of this particular population?
It will give equal access to our justice system. Right now, a developmentally disabled person who's been sexually assaulted often doesn't know to call 911. Most of the time, these people are taken care of by someone else, a guardian. And so when they do tell someone that they have been harmed, typically it's not going to be to the police right away. It's just not in their mindset to do that. They're going to tell someone else about that crime. And right now, when they tell someone, that information, that statement is not permissible in a court of law. So basically what 1085 will do, it will allow the opportunity for those statements that they made in a safe environment to someone they trust to be considered. Now the judge still has to determine if it has reliability and merit. So it's not automatic. It has to still go through a variety of different channels. But prior to this bill, there wasn't any access for those statements to be entered into a courtroom setting. And so because of that, that gives validation to this community that if you are harmed, there's an opportunity now that the statements that you share with someone else may be considered.
Why is this particular population so vulnerable to sexual assault?
You know, I believe it's because they're kind of voiceless. If many of them don't have the same type of communication that we have, and so their communication is different. And a lot of times people who care for them understand the dynamics, but basically they can't defend themselves. Their whole vocabulary is different. And I think people who prey on this population know that. They know that they could probably get away with this kind of crime because the statistic says that 42% of those in that population who have been assaulted are assaulted again, because they don't report it. And if they do report it, a very few times do those trials go on to court.
Representative Fields, how did this bill come to you?
Right, good question. It came to me by an advocacy group that has a host of people on it. It has a couple of DAs on it from the 18th District, also from Denver DAs, the Aurora Police Department, and the ARC population, and they were just looking at what can we do to tighten that loophole when it comes to that population being assaulted, because the statistic says that 80% of people who are developmentally disabled will be sexually assaulted, and 32% of men. So that's a high number. And at this point, only 1% goes to trial.
I've listened to your arguments on the floor, and you are quite passionate, and I just wanted to know what it is about this issue that stirs your own personal passions.
Yeah, for me, it was because of my own personal tragedy. My son was murdered, and I was his only voice and presence in the courtroom. He was silent because he was dead, and he was murdered because he was going to be a witness in a trial. And so I had to bring voice to his testimony because he was no longer with us. And so that reminded me of this population. This same population doesn't have a voice. They don't have an advocate. And so I was glad to be their advocate so they could have greater access to justice. Because, you know, when someone does something wrong, they should be held accountable for it. And if these people are re-victimized over and over again because they don't have a voice, then something needs to be done to correct that injustice.
And how do the advocates of this population, how do they feel that it will affect their work if the bill is passed?
Well, I've gotten such strong support from the advocacy community because basically I get the impression that this has been an area that has just been not addressed. It's not been something anybody wants to talk about. You know, there's 7 other states that have this similar law. So Colorado is not going to be the first. We will be the 8th. You know, who knows if anyone else is considering it, but only 7 other states have this law. And this law is modeled after the same language that we use for children who have been sexually assaulted. Now, that law came into place in 1983. It has been vetted and constitutionally it's sound. So we're using the same language and verbiage for that population. We're just now making sure that those who are developmentally disabled have the same option.
And I do have to ask you that for those who say that it will be kind of a double-edged sword if the bill passes in defending the same population, right. What is your response to that?
You know, I have great confidence in our criminal justice system. You know, the way our criminal justice is set up is to make sure that the scales are balanced. And so I've sat through court proceedings, and anything that's not considered reliable or credible have to go through a variety of different measures and protocols. So I have confidence that, you know, if it has merit and if it proves that it can be used in a court of law based on going through all those hurdles, I think it's going to be just fine. I think our system is big enough and great enough and strong enough to find justice in any situation.